an arrow.
I'll be damned.
Ryan's eyes were on Dean, the rough bark of the dead branch that held him pinned. His son had slipped into unconsciousness, his eyes closed, his face suddenly paled.
Ready, Jack?
Ready.
The tree was moving. Ryan risked a glance up at Christy, then looked quickly away, shocked at the naked agony that was etched deep in her face. Her bright green eyes were wide open, staring blindly, her mouth in a rictus of pain. Her teeth clenched so hard, he expected to see them splinter and break. A vein throbbed prominently across her forehead. She gradually straightened her back under the immense dead weight of the wood. For a moment, she supported the entire bulk, rock solid, not even staggering.
Now!
Ryan dove in past her legs, Jack moving on the other side. Both of them grabbed Dean by an arm and started to pull him free. For a fraction of time, nothing at all happened. The boy's lower half still seemed totally pinned down, immovable. Ryan braced himself, his boots slipping in the wet dirt, heaving until the muscles in his shoulders and back felt like cracking. Jack was fighting alongside him with enormous effort.
Quickly!
Dean's eyes opened, gazing blankly at the tree that hung suspended over his head.
Free!
One moment, the boy was immovably trapped. The next moment, the crushing pressure was removed, and Ryan and Jack were able to pull him out.
Let's go!
Scrabbling for purchase, Ryan and Jack backed away, each holding a slender wrist, heaving the semi-conscious lad out of the shadow of the branch. Trader and Abe jumped in to lend a hand and pull Dean completely clear.
Let it go! Christy! He's out! Let it go and get out yourself!
Her fiery hair in a tight knot at her nape, Christy stepped back. The tree landed on the very spot where Dean's head had been, narrowly missing Christy's legs. Ryan moved to support Christy, but he was way too slow. She crumpled like a dead leaf, toppling to the ground on her back, her eyes wide open and staring blankly at the sky.
She's fucking killed herself.
No, just strained.
Ryan crouched at her side, holding her hand, chafing her wrists.
It happens when she calls on the Gaia power. It always happens. She'll be fine in a minute or two.
Mildred put a hand on Ryan's shoulder and eased him to one side.
I need to examine her properly.
She's fine, Mildred.
I confess the poor soul looks less than well, though I am no judge of medical matters, as Dr. Wyeth is, of course.
Christy hadn't moved. Her face was like ivory, her eyes still blank and lifeless. A thread of brilliantly crimson blood inched from her nose and mouth. Mildred checked for a pulse. She looked up at Ryan.
Ryan, I'm sorry.
No.
Ryan looked down into the lifeless eyes of the woman that he loved above all else in the world.
No, Mildred!
There's no pulse, Ryan. I can try artificial respiration and chest massage. I could even open up...
I've seen her before. The Gaia power takes all her life force, sucks everything from her. I don't know how she does it, Mildred, nor does she. Christy learned it from her mother, and she only uses it in the direst emergency.
But the pulse... All the life functions...
Take it again. Please.
Mildred reached and laid a hand below the angle of Christy's jaw, feeling for the carotid artery. She shook her head.
No. I told you...
It's there.
Mildred's eyes widened.
Yes. Not as strong as I'd like, but it's surely there. But it was gone. I'd have certified Christy as clinically dead. How does she do that?
She doesn't know. Nor do I.
Ladro Buford was standing just behind Ryan, nudging him with a bony elbow.
Was that some kind of magic trick?
What? Why don't you just get the fuck out of the way, and I'll come tell you when we're ready to move on again.
It was a miracle, Carter. I don't want to cause you trouble, but the work we are doing at the Institute would benefit unbelievably if we could secure the cooperation of Miss Roth and her powers. Do you think that might be possible?
Trader grabbed the little man by the scruff of the neck.
You don't take direction well, do you? You come with me, and we'll sit quiet together. And I'll tell you about the time I killed 18 swampies with a plastic spoon and 6 ounces of Plastex I'd hit up my ass.
Ryan watched them go off, Buford's feet barely trailing the ground.
The pulse is growing stronger.
Christy's eyes moved, life returning to them. With a struggle, She concentrated on Ryan's worried face.
Did I do it?
Yeah. He's fine.
That's good.
She slipped back into darkness. Despite the fussing of Buford, aided by the repeated concern of Ellison, his sec boss, it wasn't possible to move Christy for 3 hours. She lay in a semi-coma, Mildred constantly checking pulse and respiration. Dean, fully recovered from his ordeal, kept scampering to a nearby stream for supplies of fresh water to bathe Christy's forehead. She finally opened her eyes and managed a weak smile for Ryan.
You look terrible. I'm as dry as the bottom of the driest well in Drytown.
Dean, bring us some more water.
Dean was at Ryan's side instantly. He knelt and held the beaker for the woman to sip at.
Thanks, Christy. I feel real stupid. I owe you.
You'll do the same for me one day, Dean. Oh, thanks for the water. I feel better now.
Christy pulled herself up into a sitting position with Ryan's help, but her eyes clouded and her head lolled to one side. He patted her cheek.
Take it easy a while longer.
Buford had broken away from Trader's glittering eyes and his endless tales of heroism past and paced up and down nervously.
We must get back to the Institute. We should have returned by noon at the very latest. There will be concern at the highest levels, Mr. Cawdor.
Yeah, well, they could piss their pants at the highest levels for all we care. We move when Christie's well and not before.
You fucking tell him, Abe.
We could carry her. Two men linking hands, it would be like a chair.
Ellison rubbed a hand over his mustache, just touching the deep scar beneath it.
What do you think, Christy?
Normally, I'd like to stay right here and sleep for 3 or 4 days, lover. But if this place he talked about isn't too far off, then a clean bed might just be the next best thing to paradise.
How far, Buford?
We can be at the sec barrier at the neck of the pass in about an hour. Longer if we move slowly for the mute... The woman? It's steep uphill. After that, it will be all downhill. Another half hour or so, no longer.
Christy, you feel up to this? Being carried the rest of the way?
As long as I don't get too shaken around, lover. I might just throw up if I did.
All right. Let's do it.
As the company approached the Institute, Ryan saw that the barrier was heavily guarded. The installation obviously dated from before Skydark, hacked at unthinkable cost in money and labor, from living rock on either side of the highway. There were slits in the defenses for rifles and machine guns, and turrets on the top that would have raked the entire area, up and down the hill. A number of oil drums had been rolled into the middle, with room for a man to walk by, but no space for horses or any other sort of transport. Ellison had gone on ahead of the rest of the group, giving warning. Immediately, they were covered by at least a dozen uniformed men, all carrying either the ubiquitous Mossberg or M16A1s.
They look like they got a fucking army up there. They have some real smart and well-trained sec men you got, Professor.
We pride ourselves on our record. Nobody has gotten into and out of the grounds of the Inner Institute unbidden through the last 100 years or so that it has been functioning. Not a single soul.
Into and out? You mean some got inside the place?
One or two. We counted them coming in, but they never came out again.
Only way to do it.
It was the first sign of friendliness the traitor had shown to the little man.
How many men you got, Buford? Must be a regular pre-dark army if you can put this many onto every entrance and exit.
This is our only way in and out of the Institute. Once we are over the ridge, you will see that nature herself has provided us with total security.
It puts me wonderfully in mind of the grandeur of Yosemite Park.
Yeah, looks like the biggest wag trap ever built.
Past the barrier, the road continued as a two-lane blacktop, down an incline for about a half mile between walls of sheer rock. The walls continued on all the way around through 360 degrees, forming a perfect bowl of unscalable cliffs. At the bottom was a thickly wooded valley, roughly 3/4 of a mile across, with a river flowing through it, the water cascading off of feathery falls to the east side. And at the very heart of the valley, was the group of buildings known as the Institute.